श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी तत्व प्रभु बाहर की जाए अनंत गौरी वैष्णवी की जाए नमाचार्य श्रीहर ठाकुर की जाए भक्ति कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत श्री गौर भगवान की जाए श्री राधा कृष्ण को गोपना श्यामकुंद राधा कुंद गिरे गोवरान की जाए वृंदावन धाम की जाए नवदीप धाम की जाए श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जाए भक्ति देवी की जाए वृंद देवी शिवरी तुलसी देवी की जाए गंग माई की जाय यमुन माई की जाए गोवर्क धाम की जाए मथुरा धाम की जाय हरे मायापुर धाम की जाए श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु हरे राम संकीर्तन की जाए बृहद मृदंग की जाय श्री श्री गोविंदा की जाय श्री श्री जगन्नाथ स्वामी बलदेव सुभद्र की जाय श्री श्री राधा माधव की जाय हस्त शक्ति की जाय श्यामल भक्तन की जाय ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय 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 Bhuktanya Sangu Bhagavati Bhuktanya Sangu Bhagavati Amalam Bhaktim Udvahan Vanyasya Charitam Punyam Srinuyach Travayat Patet Travayet Patet Srinu Yach Travayet Patet It is Srinu Yach. It's a bit of a tongue twister. Srinu Yach Srinu Yach Srinu Yach Travayet Patet Srinu Yach Travayet Patet Bhuktanya Sangu Bhagavati Amalam Bhaktim Udvahan Vanyasya Charitam Punyam Srinu Yach Travayet Patet Bhuktanya Sangu Bhagavati Amalam Bhaktim Udvahan Vanyasya Charitam Punyam Srinuyach Charavayat Patet Next
Muktanya Sango Bhagavati
Muktanya Sango Bhagavati
Amalam Bhakti Mudvahan
Amalam Bhakti Mudvahan
Vanyasya Charitam Punyam
Vanyasya Charitam Punyam
Srinuyach Travayat Patet.
devotee who is executing the different processes or devotional service may be situated in the transcendental position, being completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But even he, while discharging devotional service, must hear, read, and induce others to hear about the character and life of Prithu Maharaj. Please repeat, a pure devotee. Now, give it some, we say in America, gusto, give it some enthusiasm. A pure devotee. Who is executing the different processes of devotional service may be situated in the transcendental position, being completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But even he, while discharging devotional service, must hear, read, and induce others to hear about the character and life of Prithu Maharaj. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. That was a little weak. Come on. Jiv Dango. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There's a type of neophyte devotee who is very anxious to hear about the pastimes of the Lord, especially the Rasa Lila chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a devotee should know by this instruction that the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj are none different from the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An ideal king, Prithu Maharaj exhibited all talents in showing how to rule the citizens, how to educate them, how to develop the state economically, how to fight enemies, how to perform great sacrifices, jagnas, and so forth. Thus it is recommended for the sahajya, for the neophyte devotees, to hear, chant, and get others to hear about the activities of Prithu Maharaj, even though one may think himself to be in the transcendental position of advanced devotional service. Pram pram pram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Padaya Kundale Shimane Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhane Namaste Sarvati Gauravani Kutane Jivise Sashanyavari Paskyare Sathane Om Agina Kudrindasya no other scripture is required. bhagavatam says like that. As far as those who are saying that there should be something higher in order to complete, yes, there are other intimate writings by Srila Rupa Goswami, but, and other acharyas are writing very confidential lila of Shishi, Radha and Krishna, the gopis. But the Bhagavatam says no other scripture is required. We have to take that seriously. So we have to study and hear Srimad Bhagavatam faithfully so that we can get the purification. We desperately need purification. Desperately. It's not just, you know, a hobby. You know, you can have a hobby of playing table tennis or something, you know? Okay, fine. Some people have a hobby of playing golf, or call it a sport, but different kinds of hobbies. That means, implies something casual, you know? Some people like to make model airplanes for a hobby, or buy a kit of plastic pieces, put them together and make different kinds of ships. This is called hobby, and there's hobby shops, you can buy these things. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is not a hobby. It is required. It is given by the acharyas for us. It is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, especially in this age, for our benefit. It is digest. In the higher planets there are so many volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam was eternal. It is not that the Srimad Bhagavatam was composed or even written by Srila Vyasadeva 5,000 years ago. He compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Purana. Actually, it's going back to the beginning of the creation. It is timeless, but from time to time it becomes prakat or manifest in the so-called material world. And then sometimes it is not manifest, and then again it is coming. So Srila Vyasadeva is just a compiler, and he's made this digest. For us in this age of Kali, because we don't have a very good brain. So we cannot understand without the digest presented by Srila Vyasadeva. We cannot understand the Vedas and the even all these Puranas, but especially you know, different very technical shastras. We cannot understand all these things. As we see that the modern devotees often struggle to have a taste or attraction for the Srimad Bhagavatam, but to speak of it was more like Vedanta Sutra. Forget it, you know. Very technical shastra, very, we say, cerebral, heavy, you know, very super intellectual, requiring Sanskrit scholarship, etc. But Srimad Bhagavatam is full of pastimes, not only pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but pastimes of the devotees also. Here, it is clearly stated by Srila Prabhupada that the devotees, real devotees or serious devotees, they are interested in hearing about the pastimes of Prita Maharaj as hearing about Rasa Lila. So, the pastimes of Prita Maharaj are none different from the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This we should understand is a purport. Every morning we are singing Saksat Vidit Venasamasa Sastra, the prayer by Srila Vishwanatha Thakurvati Thakur. We are singing for Mangalarti every morning. But do we know the meaning? So Saksat Vidit Venasamasa Sastra means as good as God. So the pure devotees of the Lord there is as good as God. That is, you can take it in two ways. You can take it in terms of pure devotee, meaning Mahabhagavat, or highest level of, just like for Prabhupada, we're singing Prema Bhakti Yaha Haiti Avidya Venasa Yate, everyone. Prema Bhakti Yaha Haiti Avidya Venasa Yate. So Prema Bhakti. So Mahabhagavat, Prema Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, there's all kinds of different levels of bhakti. But Prema Bhakti, that is very high. Even within Prema Bhakti, there are different levels. So very high. It is not for everyone. It is not for regular guru.
And Prabhupada, when he established the successor system of disciples parampara, guru parampara in ISKCON, for after his departure, he established a successor system. So the devotees asked, so what kind of guru the disciples will be in ISKCON? He said, regular guru. So is there a distinction? Yes. It's July 9th, 1977, a very famous discussion between Srila Prabhupada and his disciples about how the disciple succession would go on after his physical departure. So what kind of, they wanted to know, so what kind of guru his disciples would be? Srila Prabhupada said, regular guru. So there's difference between regular guru and Founder Acharya. Bhakti Chusam is very expert on the subject. He has given seminars here in Mayapur and other places on the subject of Srila Prabhupada, the Founder Acharya. There's a distinction between Founder Acharya and regular guru. Now the GBC is working on this. They have a committee called Establishing Srila Prabhupada's Position. Very progressive and necessary for the next 10,000 years to establish what is Srila Prabhupada's position. He is not a, quote, regular guru, unquote. He is Paramahansa. He is Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated. Eternally liberated means who descends from the spiritual world, not who is coming up. Sarada Siddha means who is coming up. Everyone here is Sarada Siddha. I don't think there's anyone Nitya Siddha sitting here. Because if there were, we would be blinded by the effulgence. So, Sarada Siddha is also very high. It's also very nice, by the mercy. Just like Prabhupada told us, I have created your good fortune. He did not really think, oh well, now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, now I am pious, like this word punya is here, pious, you know. But we shouldn't think, oh yes, well now I'm very pious, so I'm chanting Hare Krishna. You're done. So everything's fine. No, no, by mercy of Guru Parampara, we are being lifted up. It's like that illustration is there in the Bhagavatam and also in Los Angeles, the diorama is there of how Lord Vishnu picking up the devotee by the sika out of the ocean of nessus. You know, it is like that. So that is on behalf of Krishna, Guru is doing like that, picking up the devotee and taking up, you see, and passing over to the into the Guru Parampara. Just like when I took my initiation in October of 1968, San Francisco, USA, and there were not very many devotees in those days. There was only maybe 145 internationally or so who had taken initiation from Srila Prabhupada. So at the initiation, Prabhupada was very proud because there were some, about 15 men shaved up, dhoti, kurta, wearing Vaishnava tilak, about 15 men and quite a few women also. Malati would remember, she was there at that time, the San Francisco group who later left and opened the London Temple, they were there. So Prabhupada was very, very proud. He was beaming with pride. Not to be confused with egotistical pride in the material world, but transcendental pride, love. So he was beaming, overflowing with great love and pride. So he said something very important. He said, I have called down my Guru Maharaj just to see these beautiful Vaishnavas. He died! Sananda Sarasvati Thakur was never a resident of this material world. He also Nitya Siddha. He descended, confidential associate of Radhika, Manjari. He descended to teach in this world at the request and prayers of his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he descended. So actually, I didn't know much philosophy at that time. I was brand new. I didn't know much philosophy. But I can understand that Srila Prabhupada was offering up all the devotees at that initiation as his Guru Dakshin. He was offering us up to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as an offering. That's why he was so proud. We were an offering to his Guru Maharaj. And so, just like I was present in 1969, Los Angeles, at the old temple, La Cienega Boulevard, the old temple of Los Angeles, when devotee made Vyasasan for Srila Prabhupada, the first Vyasasan for Srila Prabhupada, actually a fancy Vyasasan, before he sat in a simple lecture situation like this, not even this kind of Vyasasan, but just a podium for speaking and holding the scripture, and no backing like this, and just some tapestry or some cloth hanging behind. It's very simple previously. But then it was Narayan Das. He constructed the first Vyasasan in Los Angeles for Prabhupada. He wanted to make that offering for Prabhupada. He took a black and white photograph of the throne of the King of Jaipur. He found somewhere a photograph of the throne of the King of Jaipur. So, if you look in the Leelamrita, the picture of that Vyasasan is there. It was a large, tufted, padded, red velvet background, very regal, very kingly. And then around the front was the wooden railing with gold leaf, very opulent, very fancy. Pictures there, I think so, in the Leelamrita. So, Prabhupada sat down then at Vyasasan. He had tears in his eyes. Tears in his eyes. He said, I am not fit. Meaning, I'm not fit for this grandeur, this scale of worship. His inner heartfelt feeling, he says, I am not fit. But, on behalf of my Guru Maharaj, I must accept. So that is called the Guru Parampara. There should be no confusion. Guru Parampara means everything is offered to the previous acharya. But at the same time, the disciples are the disciples of the current acharya. You understand? Yes? No? You don't understand? There are those concepts that these days, popular concepts, mostly outside of ISKCON, that one can directly take initiation from departed acharya. There's no precedent for that. In the Gaudiya Math, they said they thought about that for 5 minutes and then dismissed it as not being a bona fide practice. So, as far as taking initiation from departed acharya is concerned. So, it is not when we say offering up, that the Guru Parampara means offering up to the previous acharya, that's not some conception of concoction. Not some conception that you could take initiation from the departed acharya. It is the essence of Guru Parampara that everything is on behalf of the previous acharyas. Otherwise, it is not bona fide spiritual master. But in ISKCON we have got bona fide spiritual masters. Why? Because they are following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Bona fide means, because Prabhupada makes it clear, who is a bona fide spiritual master? Who follows acharya. That's it. Very simple definition. Who follows acharya, they can take disciples. It is not complicated. So much confusion, so much fog in the brain about this whole issue of guru. But it's not so complicated. Not so complicated. It is that who follows acharya carefully, very, very carefully, instructions of acharya, then that person can take disciples all over the world. This is proper Vaishnava Siddhanta. So, but those initiations are held, offering everything up the line to discipling succession. You understand, Prabhu? You do understand? You should not be confused with the concept of that it's okay to take initiation from a departed acharya. There should be no confusion on this point. Yeah. These days they call it Ritvika Seva. No. But the offering up to previous acharyas, that's required. Otherwise, confusion. You see? So that distinction must be there. There should be no confusion. What does Guru Parampara mean? And Prabhupada just demonstrated. So I did a database search to see how many times Prabhupada said on behalf of, quite a few times, he said on behalf of. One female disciple sent, this was like in 1969, sent $100 donation to Srila Prabhupada. Now that was a long time ago, so now as of today, with inflation, 2012, that'll be at $1,000. Money was worth a lot more. So that'd be the equivalent of sending $1,000 donation now. That's a pretty good donation, you know. So Prabhupada wrote back, thank you very much for your donation, which I have accepted on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. You understand? He said on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. He was serving. His whole mission, this ISKCON movement, is on behalf of his Guru Maharaj. That's not written. It is Guru Parampara that this whole movement is offered up the sattva succession. And all the departed acharyas are very active in this movement. For example, in the introduction to Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada writes that Srila Rupa Goswami is in charge of this Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone seen Srila Rupa Goswami lately? Of course, we have the pictures on the altar, Sat Goswami. Prabhupada says he's in charge of this movement. A material body is not required, you see. Is Rupa Manjari. Sometimes people will say, what's the position of women in Krishna consciousness? Say, oh well, they run this movement. Huh? Yes. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is Manjari. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Manjari. Make service. Think of it, make service of Radhika. Sat Goswami, Manjari, Srinivasa Charya, all these. Mostly Manjari, there are exceptions. So, then Radharani herself is the real boss, actually. I don't know, how many of you know that? Let's see a show of hands. How many of you know that Radharani is the boss? Well, for those that you don't know, those of you that don't know Radharani is the boss, study these books. Like you can see this book by Bhakti Purushottam Swami on Radharani. Study up, Prabhupada tells us. It's not something outside. You know, of course it's a higher conception. But it's not ABC. Certainly not. But Prabhupada didn't give only the ABC. Certainly not. Prabhupada gave everything we need for full self-realization. So, because Prabhupada refers to Radharani, the relationship Radharani and Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says about Radharani, your Krishna. Yes. Radharani owns and operates Krishna. How many of you accept that? I'm getting better. I don't see 100% of your hands yet. Let me ask the question again. How many of you accept that Srimati Radharani owns and operates Krishna? I see a Brahmacharya sitting like this. One of these speaks English. This is very serious. We have to understand this point. Because Srila Prabhupada refers to speaking as if he were speaking to Radharani. Prabhupada says, your Krishna. She owes Krishna. To be specific, so what is the position of Radharani? Those who have been some years in Krishna consciousness are supposed to know. She is Ladini Shakti. So what is Ladini Shakti? The pleasure potency of the Lord. Krishna's pleasure potency. So what does Krishna do? Does he have any activity besides enjoying? Prabhu, there. You. I'm pointing you, right there. You, yes. Does Krishna do anything besides enjoy? What did he say?
Voice of Radharani.
According to Radharani.
He cannot enjoy anything. Without Radharani, he cannot enjoy anything. He cannot move an eyebrow. He cannot smile. He cannot play on the flute. He cannot even play with his coward boyfriends. He cannot herd cows. Without the powerful influence of his pleasure potency, she is his pleasure potency. God is one, but that one Supreme Lord is divided into Radha and Krishna, or separated. His Lord and his pleasure potency are one and not different also. Different, but one. So he can't do anything. He can't dance. He can't sing. He can't play with his friends. He can't do anything without her influence. Therefore, Prabhupada says, you are Krishna. Vijay! We have to understand a little something about Radharani. You could read in that book by Bhagavad Krishna about Radharani. There's other books he says about Radharani also. Anyway, so the devotees of the Lord, they are considered as good as God. Sakshatri Ten Asamasasas. If they're following Acharya. Because there's a lot of talks about people say, only a pure devotee can be guru. But we have to understand what does pure devotee mean? Much confusion on this point. Once again, pure devotee means who follows Acharya. 1969, way back to the beginning of the movement, 1969, Los Angeles, Bhagavad Gita class, question and answer period. Someone raised her hand, the program was called Swamiji in those days. Swamiji, how many pure devotees are on the planet? Prabhupada turned to Tama Krishna and said, how many disciples do we have got? 1969, who only months ago were, you know, illicit sex, smoking, marijuana, ganja, doing crazy things, drugs, only months before now, trying at least to surrender to Prabhupada, and he included them as pure devotees. How could he do like that? He follows. At least trying to follow Acharya. That person can be called a pure devotee. This is very important to understand. So when people say that there are no bona fide spiritual masters in this gone because the spiritual master must be a pure devotee, then they have not understood what is the meaning. Pure devotee. It's like a pyramid. On the top of the scale is Paramahansa and Nityasiddha. At the top of the point of the pyramid, Nityasiddha, eternally liberated souls, Mahabhagavat, Paramahansa, that's on the top of the pyramid. And at the bottom is those who follow Acharya, they can be considered. Brahma Bhuta Prasaratma Nasochiti Nakarchiti, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Who follows Acharya? Who follows Guru Parampara? The same. That shloka, Brahma Bhuta Prasaratma, it is the same thing. Who is following Acharya, you see? Then, such a person can be considered a pure devotee. This is very important, that there will be no confusion then, you see? There will be no confusion about what is required. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, it is to be heard, even up to self-realized souls. So this verse is very strong. Even a person while discharging devotional service must hear, read, and induce others to hear about the character life of Prita Maharaj. Even if you're already fully self-realized, those who are fully self-realized, they've got the best quality ruchi, taste. So taste is required, some taste for hearing. So how do we get that? We get that by the process of devotional service, shravanam, under order of a guru. We get the taste.
We are jaundice condition. Jaundice, you know, it's a very unpleasant disease. We are in jaundice condition. According to Ayurveda, how many of you know what Prabhupada says is the cure for jaundice? How many of you know? Yes. The cure for jaundice is eating sugar candy. But does the sugar candy taste sweet? No, it doesn't. If you have jaundice, the sugar candy tastes bitter. So we can take a lesson from Bhagavad Gita that that which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is like nectar, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is a Shuddha Sattva, it is transcendental, it's not just a material mode of goodness. So, Vaidhi Bhakti means the practices by which we can come to Ruchi. It'll take some time. Because first, Nishtha is required, steadiness. That Ruchi. We have to come to that point of Ruchi. At least some taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The nectarine juice for which we're always anxious. That is a statement of the Bhagavatam itself. So, this verse, Nasya Priyesha Padresha Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavad Yotama Sokhe Bhakti Bhavata Naishtiki. So the translation we should know. Everyone please repeat the English after me. By regular attendance.
By regular attendance.
In classes.
In classes.
On the Bhagavatam.
On Bhagavatam.
Okay, that statement is important. By regularly attending classes of the Bhagavatam. But many devotees don't have any taste for attending the Bhagavatam class. They'd rather do something else. And they think they're going to advance. I'm very sorry. I'm not going to advance the Krishna consciousness. They will remain in fight. Because they have not downloaded the shlokas. So many shlokas. The beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. There are so many shlokas where Sura Goswami and the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam are establishing. There was, what is it? 80,000 sages at Dharmashvarina? Huge number of sages, already Paramahansa, already on that level. Then what did we hear? Please tell us. The Bhagavatam, they're always asking, please tell us what you want to hear. And they didn't want to hear only Gopi Leela. That's why Prabhupada is talking about Sahajya. They didn't want to hear only Gopi Leela. They wanted just the ninth canto, they want to hear about the descendants of Manu. Why? Because the descendants of Manu are Varajarshis. Two words, Raja and Rishi. Raja combined, Raja, you know, means king, Rishi means great sage. So put together a Rajarshi, great sages who are also kings. In other words, pure devotees, exalted. All throughout the whole Bhagavatam. See? So hearing about these great souls, the point is, the whole point of this shloka is that hearing about these great souls is sakshat vidhivena samasya sastri, as good as hearing about Krishna's pastimes. Rasa-lila. The same thing Prabhupada says about the Purusha avatars, hearing about Mahavishnu, Gavarakshaya Vishnu, Shanakashaya Vishnu. These subject matters are also in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, as good as Rasa-lila. Only sahajas will make the distinction. It's all transcendental. It is also Leela. It's like we say Leela Avatar. Narsingha Bhagavan, Leela Avatar. Braha, Leela Avatar, and so forth. So many Leela Avatar, pastime. It's all transcendental. It's not just the Radha and Krishna gopis. This we have to understand. That's why Prabhupada is mentioning about Sahaja here. Unless we understand this point, then there's risk of Sahaja. So he was Mahabhagavat, Prithu Maharaj, demonstrating everything, how to take care of the citizens, educate them, develop the state economically, how to fight enemies. So these activities we study so that we can develop ideal government, ideal character. You see. So It all starts with hearing. So, by regular attendance in the classes in the Bhagavatam, my next part is by rendering service to pure devotee, everyone. By rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart. Some Paramahansas here that don't have triple heart. We have a troubled heart because we think that we have something to do with this body. Because we think we have something to do with the material world, that there's something important in this material world. Therefore, our minds are disturbed. Mana Vrtina, the chariot of the mind, like in the West. Actually, now in India, there's a few of them, not so many, but in the West, in America, there are many theme parks with roller coaster, you know. The people derive pleasure from going upside down, high speed. Some of them are really high. Some of them are 3 times higher than this temple building. And so the conception of pleasure is to scream. And sometimes they vomit also. Oh, it's very pleasurable, you know. So, that is Mana Vrtina, chariot of the mind, or you could say roller coaster of the mind, you know, up, down, all over the place, not steady. So, but by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. So everyone say, all that is troublesome, to the heart, is almost completely destroy it! Destroy it! Nice, isn't it? It's a good formula. Good job! And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we want to become, if we want to come to the position of Nishtha, if we want to come to the position of Ruchi, then we have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We're supposed to hear daily now. If somebody has to leave for work at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's difficult for them to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every morning at 8 o'clock because they got to get into a car or a bus or in India, you know, people have motorbikes, millions of motorbikes in India, bicycles even. Now, millions of bicycles also in India. But, so they may say, their mantra, instead of, along with chanting the householder, ISKCON, I'm talking about ISKCON now, the householder has a mantra that they chant along with Hare Krishna. It goes, no time, no time, I have no time, time, nay, time, nay, 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 time, no. No time for what? They have time. They sit down, they watch television still. They work so hard all day long to keep a chapati on the table, keep a roof for the head. They come home, flop down on the couch, look, I just want to relax. What I do, relax, watch the television. Devotees! I'm talking about devotees. No, you want to become a pure devotee, don't watch television. In America, there's a small number of people that have some intelligence that belong to the Kill Your Television movement. They still have those days. There was, at least, I've been in India for 9 years now, but there used to be a bumper sticker you would see on the cars sometimes. Kill Your Television. It's a good idea. Good idea. Because how many devotees are watching only transcendental videos on their television? Come on. I know this is going on the internet. Do a reality check, you know. I mean, so besides it's an illusion all the way, you know. The man comes home from work. Ah, I'm just gonna relax, you know. At least let's see what's on TV, you know. Yeah. Relax, get away from it all, get some peace of mind, you know. Right. So let's see what's on TV. This is a remote area. You know. Jack, push on it. Get the lead out. Run, move it, Jack. Come on, get your sitter. There's 20 cops behind this bullet. Okay, change saddle there.
But, Henry, I thought you loved me.
He's got a knife in his hand, you know. Oh, you love me, Trey.
Henry, I love you. No.
Okay, wait a minute, hold it. So this is going on, you know. This is material enjoyment. What is to hear something? But we have to do something else. We have to hear. As Vidya Prabhu mentioned about the Saffron Mercy Particle. So, it is so nice. I want to read you the direct quote about Saffron Mercy Particles. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 20th verse, text 25, the purport. The Lord asks, this is the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord asks every sleeping, living entity to get up and engage in devotional service so that his mission in this human life may be fulfilled. This awakening voice comes through the mouth of a pure devotee. So we've discussed what pure devotee means. Not only just Paramahansa, but who is following Paramahansa. So a pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet. Therefore, he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Strewn means thrown over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, the highest level of saffron mercy particles is going to be Srila Prabhupada, as Dravida Prabhu was pointing out, because he is the resident of Vrindavan, eternal digitated resident of Vrindavan. But if somebody is repeating Prabhupada, some of the mercy particles from Prabhupada may filter down also. You understand? So we can still get the saffron mercy particles. The best way, if you've been already pointed out, is hear directly from Prabhupada. Somebody takes your all English speaking, so you can listen directly to Srila Prabhupada lectures. There are some for Indians, there are some 50 available in Hindi also. There are 50 lectures available recorded in Hindi. So, the saffron mercy particles, this is how we're going to get purified, is required. Otherwise, everybody's hearing something. The birds are also hearing and chanting. See, the process of Shravan Kirtan is going on for every living entity. How many of you heard one of these trees with about 500, 800 birds in the tree at dusk? How many of you have heard? The rest of you have never heard a tree full of birds? You've never heard a tree full of birds at dusk? Let me ask you, how many have heard a tree full of birds at dusk after they've been out during the day? It's noisy, isn't it? Really?
Why not?
They're singing the glories of the Lord. A Paramahansa will hear them singing the glories of the Lord, like as good as the Vedas, although it's material sound records. That's what a Paramahansa will hear. He'll hear them singing the glories of the Lord, because Paramahansa can't think about anything else. Mahabhava can't think anything except the glories of the Lord. Mahabhava doesn't hear anything material. Nothing material. So when the Mahabhava preaches in this world, they have to force down their consciousness to, as if they were Manyam. They do not become Manyam, middle level, but they have to force their consciousness down as if they're Manyam. So Prabhupada had to do it. He never became Manyam, but he had to force his consciousness. Otherwise, we hear from the Shastra so many thousands of descriptions of our acharyas, you know, in complete ecstasy, rolling on the ground. You know, this cannot be imitated. loss of consciousness, all so many great souls, Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Vasacharya, all how they become overwhelmed with ecstasy. You know, why can't I be imitated? Anyways, but the birds, they're also hearing the chanting. Well, Paramahansa will only hear them singing about the glories of the Lord. On the mundane level, they're talking for japa. You know.
Ah, you should have seen. I caught the biggest worm today. Oh my God. It was so big. Well, I pulled and pulled and I got only a broken half, but I got half of it anyways. You know, gee.
And the another bird says,
oh well, gosh, you know, I had a really close call today. There was a huge hawk was after me, you know, but I was faster than the hawk, and I flew out of its way, and I did a special dive, and my chirp, 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 chirp. You know, so on that level, you know, that level of Prajapa talking is going on the absolute plane, they're all every living entity singing the glories of the Lord.
So, we have to engage, we have to hear properly the Shrima Bhagavatam, then we can become purified. Otherwise, up to the point of Paramahansa, they have got ruchi, they've got taste. So we are supposed to develop that same taste. Here it is, the first canto, first chapter, text 3. O expert and thoughtful man, relish Shrimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarine juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Relishable. So that's saying the same thing here as this verse about Pita Maharaj and his pastimes, the pastimes of the devotees. They are just as good as hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. If we don't hear this subject matter, we will remain in the jhanas condition. And if we haven't got the taste, if we don't have the ruchi, then Vaidhi Bhakti means we have to do it on order of Guru, on order of the Vaishnavas. We have to do it anyways. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is like nectar. It's said to be happiness in the mode of goodness or transcendental. We have to do it on order of Guru. Then only can we become purified. Okay, thank you very much. Anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, where's that microphone? I'm hard of hearing, so you have to speak clearly into the part of the joys of old age, you know, your eyes give out, your ears give out, you know.
Well, thank you, Maharaj. Very nice. I really appreciate all the nice connections you made between Sri Prabhupada and his guru and the Karampara. Yeah, very, very nice connections. In fact, it sort of reminded me of a realization I had that you touched upon that Prabhupada's entire purpose in life was simply to offer everything to his guru, his whole life's energy, his whole life's mission. Therefore, ISKCON is simply Prabhupada's ongoing offering to his spiritual master.
Yes, it is.
An amazing thing, like these great spiritual giants were sent by Lord Chaitanya as the saviors of mankind, and their relationship has manifested.
They're in the West they're called guardian angels.
Yes, our protectors.
We know that means they don't have gross bodies, but are guides.
Yes.
But they don't have subtle bodies. Our guides, our well-wishers, like Prabhupada said in every letter, you have a well-wisher. Yes. Yes. So the whole Guru Parampara, they also are well-wishers, and we don't see them. So they are like the Western conception of guardian angels.
Yes, very active well-wishers.
Yes, very active.
And there's you also touched upon that some apasadanta, or that is a misconception, is that you know, you go into Lila Smaranam, you just remember very esoteric and good pastimes, and that will bring you to the highest level, but that is a total misconception. Because the acharyas of Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta never promoted that. And actually, their preaching mission is the highest level. That is,
well,
that,
because there's an important quote in that regard. Let's say, supposing somebody wants to hear only about Gopi Leela and the intimate pastimes, these days you can get off the internet in different places books that should not be read. Yeah. by someone who still has got sex desire,
yeah.
sex agitation.
Parma, huh?
But now people, unmarried young couples are reading these things and becoming agitated. Anyways, then Prabhupada said, putrefaction, not purification. Putrefaction means contamination like a sewer.
Yeah, so therefore the Prabhupada is engaging us in the whole world in sanctifying that movement, and that is the highest lila, Lord Chaitanya's own lila of giving Krishna to others. You know, there's nothing greater than that. So we don't have to think that we have to reinvent the wheel and go and find some deeper esoteric things. We're right in the middle of the greatest lila ever manifested on this planet. And we just have to come to that realization by becoming attached and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Krishna Katha. And Prabhupada's writings are directly expanded from the Bhagavatam. He's the living person Bhagavatam. Therefore, everything that Prabhupada has written is non-different from the Bhagavatam. It's pure transcendence. And then we can absorb ourselves and be connected to you know, Sankta movement.
Who follows Acharya, they can give out the consciousness. They're qualified.
Thank you.
Yes. Somebody over here.
Hare Krishna.
Speak right into the mic.
Maharaj, one point which caught my attention is you're saying a few times you repeat how following the Acharya, by following the Acharya, a person is pure. You know, the definition of a pure devotee is follow.
At least you're on the right track.
Alright. Now, one definition of pure means he's free of the modes. From the influence of the modes of nature. And following the Acharya might bring one to that state, but it's a gradual process. We understand it's a gradual process that one comes free from the modes. So that seems to me a little kind of an additional note that following the Acharya, if we are pure at the same time, if we think we are free from the modes and we are not, then we are making problems. Would you agree on that point?
Well, yes, but I was personally instructed on this by Srila Prabhupada. Morning walk in Detroit, USA. Detroit, Michigan, USA. Morning walk in the park. I was personally, because I asked Prabhupada on this subject matter. The Srimad Bhagavatam has a whole chapter entitled devotional service mixed with the modes of material nature. Yet, nectar devotion, describing Rupa Goswami, Anya Vilasata, Sunyam Gyanakamani, Anamita, not mixed with anything. Pure devotional service is transcendental. So, this would seem at first glance to be contradictory, because here's a whole chapter on devotional service mixed with modes of material nature. So, I wanted some personal clarification to the Prabhupada. So I asked, I said, Srila Prabhupada, in the third canto, at that time it was third canto, part four. In the third canto, the Bhagavatam says that there is devotional service mixed with the modes of material nature. Does that apply to your disciples? In other words, are your disciples under the modes of material nature and rendering devotional service, mixed devotional service under the modes of material nature or not? That's what I wanted to know. Same point that you're making. So, but first of all, Srila Prabhupada's answer was very, very shocking. Went off like a landmine, an explosion in my face, you know. He said, it depends who you consider to be my disciples. Yes, it's very serious. He did not consider all of his initiates to be disciples. There were so many full of nonsense, wearing neck beads, putting hand into bead bag, still going back after initiation, going back to not following the principles, or not carrying out sadhana bhakti properly. Prabhupada did not consider them to be disciples. So there's a distinction between disciples and initiates, which Prabhupada personally made to me. So I was shocked, but fortunately, even though I was stunned, Krishna gave me the intelligence how to respond. I said, I mean, those who follow your instructions, Srila Prabhupada, in other words, those who follow your instructions, are they under the modes of material nature? Srila Prabhupada said, no. Then Satsarupa Maharaj was also on that morning walk. That photograph of that morning walk was on the center spread of Bhaktivinoda magazine. Everybody was listening with great attention because, although if you listen to a lecture on a recording, it probably sounds very loud, but when he was walking without amplification, you had to strain, he spoke softly, you had to strain to hear, so everybody was straining. It's a classic picture of guru and disciples, everybody straining to hear every word Prabhupada had to say. So, Satsarupa Maharaj contributed, he said that previously he was describing how Prabhupada described mango. You cannot say that a green mango is not a mango. It's green, it's not ripe. So the neophyte devotee, you can't say they're not a devotee. The neophyte devotee is simply not ripe, that's all. So whether they are on that, I mentioned Brahma Bhuta Prasaratma Nasojati Nakanchati, and I asked Prabhupada about that shloka in the same conversation. I asked him about that shloka. What about, but so, na saujati, na kanchati means no hankering, no lamentation. But we see that sometimes devotees may be hankering or lamenting. And the Prabhupada's answer again was very shocking. This is in the Vedas, if you want to look it up. Previously my name was Makanlal. His Prabhupada's answer was also very shocking. He said, then not devotee. Oh. In other words, if we are full of hankering, hankering means lusty desires, I want a big car, I want a widescreen television, I want a fancier house, and all these things, or maybe I want many, many followers for my own sense of gratification, whatever, you know, then that is hankering, trying to get something I haven't got, hankering, dissatisfaction. And lamentation means, well, I haven't got the sense gratification that I want. So lamenting, Sri Prabhupada says, then not devotee. Of course, we should, no one should be discouraged by that. It means not pure devotee. By saying not devotee means not pure devotee. You know, whereas the demigods are also devotees of Lord Vishnu, but they are sakama. There's two kinds. There's nishkama, without material desire, and there's sakama. Sakama means they're devotees, but they're full of material desires. So the demigods, the devas, they are like that, and for material also. So the point is, several prophets had razor's edge. Spiritual life is a razor's edge. That means that you can fall easily one side or the other side. And one side is pure devotional service, as described by Rupa Goswami. Anyavidata sunyam gyanamankarani anavita. No trace of gyan, karma, all these things, mystic yoga. But the other side is sakama mixed. So, by following Prabhupada's instructions, we're supposed to stay at least on the low rung of transcendental platform. In other words, if you follow Acharya, if you follow Prabhupada carefully, if you rise early in the morning, chant 16 rounds carefully, hear the shastra every day. Now, if somebody has to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and can't hear a temple class, then they should at least read with the family in the evening. If they have to leave for work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Or these days, you can get the stream off the internet. It's saved in the internet, and you can play it back in the evening. So there's no excuse for not taking the message of my life. Then you can stay on transcendental platform. Yes? Speak right into the mic, please, otherwise I won't be able to
listen. Okay. We hear so many things about Guru. We hear so many things about Guru and this and that. But I was reading Prabhupada, you know, draws a clear conclusion. Verse 2.8 Bhagavad Gita. He says, the bona fide spiritual master is one who's 100% Krishna conscious because he can solve the problems of life. So that's the conclusion. It means you can't say nothing after that. So what do you say about that?
I can't quite understand your accent.
But also, he 100% Krishna conscious.
Well, the spiritual master must be 100% Krishna conscious.
Prabhupada says that. Verse 2.8 in the purport.
Yeah, but in the nectar of...
He signed the verse. He he's drawing the conclusion. Everything said before that, he's concluding, this is it. That's the conclusion.
That the spiritual master must be 100% Krishna conscious. So, we are in the line of the Sati succession. Srila Prabhupada is founder of Acharya. So, the GBC law, which most people don't know, is that everyone in ISKCON are Siksha disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Thus, they are taking instruction by reading the Prabhupada's books, by hearing his tapes and lectures, etc. They are getting that, they are hearing directly from that Mahabhagavat who is 100% Krishna conscious. Now, those who are representing him as Diksha Gurus at ISKCON, or maybe they have not attained the platform of being Nitya Siddha, but still, they may be counted as pure devotees, and still we should hear from them. Those devotees who say, I won't hear from such and such and this and that, and unless they're breaking the regulated principles, if somebody's following Prabhupada's instruction, we should hear from them. And if they know the Shastra reasonably well, we should hear from them.
Of course, but that is the difference between that and the decision. Who's going to take you back to Godhead?
In the nectar of instruction, Prabhupada writes that even a Kanista Adhikari can be Guru. But that you don't want to have a Guru Kanista Adhikari unless they are Varga Pradashak, or one who shows the path. But Madhyam Adhikari can also be a Guru. Madhyam Adhikari can also be Guru. Madhyam Adhikari, mid-level means they've got Shraddha. Unless you've got Shraddha, you cannot convince others. But we see in our ISKCON society how Diksha Gurus in ISKCON are convincing thousands of people to take up Krishna consciousness. That is avesh, empowerment. They are not sakyavesh, they did not descend from the spiritual world, but the avesh is the key. Anyways, it's getting late now, we have to stop, but we can continue speaking privately if you want. Okay, thank you very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Premanante Hari Hari Bol. Thank you.